When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals. Save big.
Welcome back to Wrestling Made Me Cry. We're a little bit early today. We have some plans for things, and it just so lined up that we would have to be early. But that means you get us sooner, so I don't think anybody's complaining.
Yeah, and if you are complaining, you can just watch it on the replay. Make sure to like, share, subscribe. Come back every Sunday to see our cute little faces.
Yes. And listen, this is going to be a short and sweet episode, maybe less sweet because there's some sad stuff to talk about on this episode that happened this week in wrestling, but it's going to be a good time. It's always a good time with us, listen.
Always. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good morning to Luis. Good morning to everybody. If you have a question or comment or, you know, a statement or what have you, make sure to submit a super chat and we'll read all those super chats. Hello to Corey. Hello to everybody on all the platforms. But listen, Collins, we have to start with Eddie because I feel like you both of us need to get it off our chest if we're going to move forward in the episode.
So there's a meme of a little girl in this cute little cheerleader outfit and she's crying to her abuela. And she's just tears welling up in her eyes. The tears are still dropping. And she's just trying to remain having a brave face. And that is how I felt on Wednesday. Hearing that, I mean, we all kind of expected it. You know, Eddie and Gabe had a very brutal match. I don't think that we expected anything else from either of them. But there was a spot on the guardrail that everyone shared on social media, which made me go, okay, I need to watch this match. Watch the match, and I was like, oh yeah, he is injured. There is no way that he is walking. Hearing that he was limping out, he had to be helped back to the to backstage. So it's just, you know, it's gonna happen, but you still pray that like maybe somehow he can do Anarchy in Arena. I don't know. In a week? It's a week. One week until Double or Nothing. But
which I'm excited for Double or Nothing. Not to like get us off topic, but I'm really excited.
But still, at the same time, they're putting it, someone who has a leg injury to someone who literally got hit by a bus not too long ago.
Yeah, and had an injury that prevented him from climbing Mount Everest. There was other options in AEW.
Absolutely. So many other options. Other options, which is why I was like, well, I don't get it. He still has like a thing on his nose, you know?
Yeah,
we saw the pictures. I'm confused.
I'm confused too. Hello to Superman, first time viewer. Welcome in. Good morning to Eddie. And Eddie also says, do y'all find it weird Tony Khan hasn't tweeted for a while? No, I don't find it weird. I think.
I don't know. Like,
I think. On the one hand, like, yeah, it could be weird. Like, maybe he's trying to get off Twitter. And, you know, wishful thinking. It could also be a part of the story.
Yeah,
that they're telling in AEW with the EVPs and like everything that's going on there. I don't know. I don't necessarily find it weird though, because sometimes I don't tweet for a while. and I don't think that's weird. So I don't know. Maybe
from all your hating, all your haterade.
Apparently, listen, this is just who I am now. People have started in private telling me that I'm just like, that's who I am. I'm just a hater. And you know what? I'll be the hater. Because I'd rather speak my truth and get called a hater than be phony baloney on Twitter.
I mean, that is fair, but also at what cost, you know?
Yeah. I'm in a space and we're getting like already we're off topic. We had a plan and an agenda last night. Me and Collins were like, we have this time limit, this window that we can do this show and we have to stay on topic. But you know what? It's okay. We can get it's off okay. topic. For me on Twitter, like I tweet and then I disappear. And I know, like sometimes I'll go into my replies and I'll see people fighting or I'll see people insulting me, whatever. And I don't care. Like I don't get notifications for it. My stuff is ultra filtered. Sometimes I don't even get notifications from my friends, like people I follow, like my mutuals and stuff like that, because my stuff is so heavily filtered. But it just has to be that way. And sometimes I feel bad because people will send me a DM request or a reply on one of my things. And they're like, oh, you know, I really like that you did this thing. And then I don't see it for so long. And I feel so bad. I really do. But just know that I'm never ignoring you. Unless you're being mean to me, then I'm ignoring you.
Same.
But
I mean, I just have, you know, mental illness. So I'll see the notification and go, I should probably respond to that.
Yeah.
And then I put my phone down and do other things. And then 3 days later I go, oh, I never replied to that thing that I looked at.
That happens to me too. But anyway, back to Eddie.
Before we
completely spiral in the Twitter talk. After New Japan, the New Japan show, and people were saying Eddie was limping, I thought it was work. Because I thought they were going to tell a story in what I thought was going to be like a blood and gut story, Anarchy in the Arena. I thought it was going to be Eddie coming back from injury, like being the ultra baby face, like the face of Team AEW, right? But it's not. It's real. He tweeted put on Instagram a picture of him in a wheelchair outside of what looks like a clinic. He's got a big giant thing on his leg, not a cast, a brace.
And he's smoking a freaking cigar.
I love Eddie. Eddie is like everything to me. I love him. I adore him. I think me and Eddie are very, we're both haters. I think that's why I'm we're just both just so, outspoken is not the right word. I don't know what the right word is, but you all get my gist. But I was really upset that he's not going to be at Anarchy in the Arena because that's like an ideal match for him.
Yeah. I mean, we all still have burned in our retinas Eddie Kingston with the gas can covered in blood.
Yeah.
Going to the ring. So, you know.
And it would have been so good because anytime Eddie is standing across from the Elite, something about that dynamic is just so entertaining to me. And I think it's because the Elite are always, Eddie's there like pouring his heart out, being so real and so honest. And here comes Matt Jackson with his like cartoonish acting. That's not an insult, by the way, and just cuts a promo on him. And it's even better now because the EVPs and the Elite are just so outlandish. And as time goes on, it gets like worse and worse. Like they fired Christopher Daniels. Poor Tony Schiavone was a victim of their assault.
Yeah, I was there on Wednesday and I have a friend who was a couple rows behind commentary and said the moment that the drink poured, it was like that scent went into the air and everyone goes, oh, okay, that's not just water. That was actually this sticky. And he sat there the rest of the night just...
That visual of Tony Schiavone, like a wet cat in like a storm.
A wet just, like, cat.
It's so sad. Tony Schiavone, listen, he has been great for AEW. He is like not just commentary, the interviews he does, the whole thing between him and Adam Cole was so funny to me. he's just such an an underappreciated asset, not just for his commentary, for everything else that he does. And so I, when poor Tony became the focus of the EVPs or the elite's anger, I was really mad. Listen, I will never boo the elite. You will not get me to boo them. I will cheer the elite and I will cheer Team AEW. You cannot stop me. But I came this close to booing. I would, listen, I would defend Tony Schiavone. If I was in a room mm-hmm. and it was Tony Schiavone, Jungle Boy, or Jack Perry, and me, and Jack Perry started attacking Tony Schiavone, I'm jumping in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to hurt Tony Schiavone like that. Like, but I met Tony Schiavone once in my life. And the entire time, I was like, it's Tony Schiavone. Like, I was in awe of Tony Schiavone. I love him. Asian Joe says, Eddie feels like the modern day Dusty, but kicked up a few hundred levels of attitude, just out there representing the common folk. It does feel like that,
mm-hmm.
especially the way, like how real he is in his promos, of course, but also the way that he doesn't look like Captain America. Like he doesn't look superhero West. He's not like a Randy Orton type who's in pristine shape forever. Or a Kenny Omega type or something like that. He's very much, listen, he's a very attractive human being. So, like, he's above average. I don't want to say he looks average because he's very far above average.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not something that you look at him wrestle and you think that he's superhuman because of the way he looks. You
know I mean, Eddie Kingston can get it. I mean, he can get it.
He's a beautiful human.
He's beautiful. He is king of the bums. But yes. He does have that error about him where he is just the average guy that could be in a bar fight, that could be in a brawl fight, that could be anywhere
mm-hmm.
and kick some motherfucking ass. And that's kind of how I see, like, okay, that's a legitimate fighter and not, you know, not always so much the roided up beef heads. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I think also after he did his Players Tribune story about mm-hmm. him struggling with mental health and, you know, going through the battles of, you know, alcoholism and all the things that, you know, kind of took time away from him. I think a lot of people can relate to that story. A lot of people can relate to feeling down on their luck, like life has handed them, you know, some cards that it didn't hand other people and having that kind of resentment. And I think that Eddie is always so real for that, being like, I fucked up a lot of chances with like the big name promotions, but I'm here now and let's go, you know, mm-hmm. I want to fight, make me fight you. So.
Yeah. It's the ultimate underdog. And I think what makes Eddie even more special is when he cuts a promo, especially if he's in a feud that I can tell that he's really into, like he really enjoys what he's doing. You can see that. You can see that he loves what he's doing. But when he cuts a promo, there's so much honesty in it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes wrestlers will cut a promo, even if they're really, really good. And it's a little bit insincere because they're trying so hard to hammer in like the points of the story.
Yeah.
And like when they're an underdog, it's always like, you know, David versus Goliath, like, you know, everybody underestimates me, blah, blah, blah. But with Eddie, it's very much he's conveying every time I'm in a fight for my life. You don't take me serious. I'm going to make you take me serious. And he's just so authentic. And that is such a rare thing in wrestling.
And I think the haters of Eddie Kingston, right? We see it, you know, you're either a lover or a hater for Eddie Kingston. There's really no lukewarm bubble bath going on here. I think that the haters who hate him are well in their right to hate him because there are plenty of wrestlers I do not like. Mm-hmm. But Eddie Kingston has made feuds with people that I don't like CM Punk. You know, he's not my flavor. It's fine.
Yeah.
But he made me like CM Punk at that moment. He made me like that feud and it felt real. So I don't know. I'm always going to be an Eddie Kingston supporter, buying all the merch. I think I have way too many Eddie Kingston pieces of merch. Plus, I have a Bad Bitches for Eddie Kingston.
I was going to get my Eddie figure, but he's on the wall. He's not on my desk.
Oh, he's on the wall.
Well, I've been slowly moving them from like my desk to my wall because I'm running out of space here, and I have like other wrestling and other non-wrestling stuff decorations here, but it's okay.
Well, I mean, I bought two more figures yesterday, the brand new Bryan Danielson one, which it's in a blue, it's the blue shiny outer box. And then I also found Toni Storm. Finally.
Yes.
Finally.
I found Toni at Target. It was Toni in pre-timeless Toni. It's
yes, Toni pre-timeless Toni. I can't wait till there's a timeless Toni figure. I think that's going to go off the shelves. Like,
yeah, it's going to be so hard to find. Like, for me, a part of what I really love about figures is finding them in the store. So people are always like, you could just buy it online. Like, it's on Shop AW. It's wherever. But I like to be in the store and, like, hunt like a little rat. Like, I like to love
people. Like a little rat?
Yes! Like a little gremlin. I'm, like, sniffing out amongst, like... And it's always by the WWE figures. And the WWE figures, it's always, like, here's 20 legends who haven't wrestled in 20 years. And then it's, like, the New Day. And that's about all that I ever find. And then there's always, like, a random Shinsuke... Or Rhea Ripley, or like a random star. And it's always like, here's a few select figures. They're really good. Or it's 25 Eddie Kingstons.
So we went to the Target south of Seattle. So it was very different than, you know, what we usually had, which our Target had like 8 Trent Berettas at one point, and I was like, what happened? But that one, it had like this like special edition Britt Baker one that was like $40. She had different outfits, really kind of cool. It was just very like modular or whatever. It was $40. Came with like the background, almost got it, but it was one of those things that I was there for a specific amount of things. So I'm hoping that it'll still be available next time we head over. So
that's always like the risk you take is, do I put this back and come back for it later and think on it? Cause I've done that. I put back a Sheeta figure, and then I went back and she wasn't there. But then a few weeks later, there was another Sheeta figure, so everything worked out.
Yeah.
Ryan Lambert says, funny enough, my store only has Jericho AW figures. Nobody buying those. My store, the Target closest to my house, had 3 Jake Hagers that sat there for, no joke, it was the same Jake Hagers, sat there for 6 months. And then they just disappeared. I don't know if someone bought them or if they threw them away or whatever. But Target was really holding out on selling those before ordering more. So I would just go check, because I go to the store and I just check just to see.
Yeah, just check.
Yeah. And it was Jake. And it was Jake. And then it kept just being Jake. And then they disappeared. And now we have good ones. So.
Yeah. There was the, when they first came out, the Lionheart Chris Jericho, which I got at Target. Because it's a special. But then I just kept seeing, every Walmart, every Target I went to, I was like, okay. But
I don't know how AW is selling their figures to stores, but whatever they're doing to make it to one store has a million of one person, they need to stop. It's ridiculous.
I don't know how stores usually do inventory things. That's way above my pay grade. I don't know. I'm just a consumer of things. But, I mean, it happens with WWE that, like, monster truck version of Braun Strowman was there long time. So, it was one of those things that... You know, you always go to the section, you try to see what's there. And I usually will pick up like, some of the WWE figures that I think, like the higher end one. It's not usually the $10, $10.99 ones or whatever. But yeah, that Braun monster truck, there were like four on the shelf for like a good 6 months.
It's crazy. And they just sit there because they're toys. They don't go bad.
Yeah.
And sit there. My Target, luckily, they'll clearance stuff out pretty often.
Yeah.
So, like, you'll go to the clearance section of the toys, and there's normally a lot of WWE figures, and they're down to, like, $8. But it's never anybody – it's, like, never anybody that I would buy.
Yeah.
But the AW figures never go on clearance. They just sit there.
They just sit there.
I did buy I have a Cody figure, an AW Cody figure that I found at a Ross for I don't know why it was there. It was $5. I wonder if it's because Cody left AW, they sold like extras to Ross. I don't know. But it was $5. And listen, it's a good figure. And I have two Cash Wheelers because one was a gift. Actually, they were both gifts, I think. I have two Kennys. I have the Young Bucks. I'll just do a figure haul on my Twitter.
Yeah, let's do that.
What I have. We'll do
listen,
that.
If you wanted to do an episode of Wrestling Made Me Cry, and we could also do a whole episode where we bring in our top five.
Yeah.
Listen, I love that.
We'll get creative with it.
But speaking of Cash Wheeler, something that they did make a big deal when the show went off air was that he's not guilty.
So Cash Wheeler, if you were, I don't know, gone for the last 6 months or so, he was charged with a felony for allegedly with a road rage
very
incident.
Very serious.
A very serious alleged road rage incident. The charges were dropped because he was scheduled to go to like trial and stuff at the end of May, which would have, you know, taken him out of Double or Nothing for obvious reason. But the charges were dropped after the show. They made a big hurrah about it. So he's still team AEW. And listen, I don't know. Like, I don't work for the Orange County Clerk of the Court. But I do live in Florida, about 30 minutes from Cash Wheeler. So I know the climate, and I things like this happen here.
Yeah. But,
I don't know if they found out something that made it clear that this was an incident. I don't know. Like, I'm not there. But Cash Wheeler evaded the felony. He did not catch a charge. He's going to be at Anarchy in the Arena, Team AW. And it's going to – listen, when they did the ladder match with the Young Bucks at the pay-per-view, you and I were like, Cash Wheeler's going to show out. Cash Wheeler and Nick Jackson are going to do some crazy shit. And they worked this time. Because it's Cash Wheeler and Nick Jackson again, but it's also Cash Wheeler who just evaded jail. And so he's good. I fully expect him to be insane. I expect blood. I expect a flipper or two, even. A crazy Cash Wheeler doing two flips. Dax is going to do whatever Dax does and like beat people up. Cash though. Cash is going to be pretty crazy. I'm excited about that.
Did it translate on television? Bryan Danielson's music playing, like, because the opening bout
when it didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was, it kept going and it kept going. And I love when they do that. It reminds me of, what, I don't even remember what year it was, but back when Moxley's music kept playing, playing and the match was happening, and I was in the arena, and it was the crazy experience of my life because it's so loud.
Yeah.
And it's just the match is going, and the cameras are like following them around. It's just Wild Thing on loop, on repeat. And it was, I loved it. That is the kind of chaos we need.
Okay, so but like,
so good.
Do you think that they'll, I mean, they did it with Danielson's music. Who else's music could they do it with?
I guess
just feel like Wild Thing is so good because everybody knows it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and Wild Thing is, it makes me want to sing along to it. Why don't we sing along to Wild Thing more? People in the arena will do like the chorus, the Wild Thing, you know, You Make My Heart Sing. But we didn't sing the whole thing. Y'all sung Judas for years. We are owed this.
Okay, you were at All Out 2021, right?
Yes.
Remember when he went out and people were singing it a cappella and then suddenly everyone forgot the words? And so the crowd just went, Judas in my mind.
That's the only part I know.
It was my most listened to song in 2016. So
I don't know. I mean, I used to have it on a workout playlist, but that was only because the sound of it like triggers something in my brain that makes me want to cry.
That's like some sort of psychology thing. I don't know. My workout playlists used to be just like mayhem music that I would never listen otherwise. And I hated it because all of a sudden my end of the year Wrapped would just be like all the music that I'm like, I don't want anyone to know that I listen to like Korn all the time. Like that. I'm not, do I look like someone who listens to Korn all the time? No, Korn is awesome. But also I feel like a fraud because I don't actually listen to Korn all the time.
I did my Spotify Wrapped and somehow I ended up in like the top 0.04% of Elton John listeners. And I have no idea how it happened.
Yeah.
Because there's like 3 Elton John songs that I'll listen to pretty consistently, but I'm not like listening to Elton all the time.
Yeah.
But I guess I am.
You are.
It was like Elton, it was Taylor Swift, because there's like 3 Taylor Swift songs that are on my workout playlist. My Chemical Romance, which is always a bop.
Always a bop. Mm-hmm.
And like some other words, but it's always the music that I think I'm listening to the most, I never am. Like Kendrick Lamar is always in my top 5 because I listen to so much Kendrick when I'm working out, when I'm at work, whatever. Yes. Ryan says my workout playlists are death metal, show tunes, and Broadway. Broadway is another big one that I always get.
You get it.
Like Cell Block Tango, because that is so good during your workout to do Cell Block Tango. Like there's so much feminine range. But
he had it coming. Oh, he had it coming.
He did. But that's what they should play on repeat at Energy Arena is Cell Block Tango. Tony, if you're listening, you don't have to tweet.
I mean, I do have to say, you know, Spotify Wrapped is January through the end of November, right? Mm-hmm. And then they use December to do your data and all the algorithms, whatever it is.
Yes.
Adam Copeland debuted in AW October 1st. So from October 1st until November 31st, I somehow last year made Metalingus my number one song.
That's crazy.
That is insane. Because you hear it once and you're like, I got to hear it again. And then I put it on my workout playlist. And then I put it on my work playlist. And then I put it on the dog walking playlist. And then I'm just constantly listening. On this day, I see clearly.
If Adam Copeland was Team AEW, that would have been the song that we would
have. Yeah.
But now it's like, who's on Team AEW? It's FTR. I mean, you could loop FTRs, but theirs isn't like, it's really good. I mean,
it's probably going to be Darby's theme. Probably. Like, come on.
Darby has a good theme. It's really good. Mm-hmm. The fact that Darby's there after being hit by a bus, though, I'm very confused about.
I feel like he's going to like, I don't know, get double teamed somehow, put in a trash can, and then he's going to like come back. Like at the end, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I just wish they would have, I don't know, Daniel Garcia is right there. Like, there's so many options, but it's whatever, I guess, Darby. I mean, I guess they probably thought, okay, it's Anarchy in the Arena. It's pretty much a hardcore match. Who do we got that isn't Eddie? And like, Darby, of course, is right there at the top of the list. And you can't pull in Street Fight Trent Beretta. So. It's gotta be Darby, I guess. It's gonna be a good match, though. I'm really excited. I'm sad Eddie's not there. Same. But I think I'm really, really into this Elite story. And I'm even more interested to see, do the Elite cheat to win? Like, do they say, we're your boss, Rick Knox, like, we have to win, whatever? Or do we give Team AEW, like, the feel-good victory? Because AEW, it's being advertised as a triple main event. So this is one of the main... But you can't have a triple main event. There's always going to be something that's the main event.
Buy one, get one free. Hello.
but...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Eddie's right. Adam and Malakai are going to have a great match if Malakai shows up and actually wrestles. He's been wrestling. I don't know what it is, but he's been wrestling like he's in water. Like, he's just been slow. I don't know. I'm just not into the story. I get that they're like, there's darkness inside of you, Adam. You need
right.
to. I don't know why Malakai cares so much, though. Like, his whole story has been, I'm going to bring the darkness out of Adam Copeland. Not so much like, I'm going to steal his title because House of Black always wins. It's like a weird situation. Clown says, Darby gets taken out during the match. Hangman comes out and swerves everyone and joins the Young Bucks. That would be really good. I would be really into that.
So Cultaholic does this thing where they go, it's not what we think will happen. It's what we want to happen. And that is always what we're going to predict on this channel. So...
Yeah, along the same lines, Ryan says, do we get a surprise turn, return, debut to help the Elite win? Hangman would be great, especially because Kenny is off doing his little surgery, whatever.
And this is casual surgery, figuring out if he needs a colostomy bag.
Yeah, and it'd be a good place for Hangman, but also, like, I feel if you bring Hangman back, he has to go for Swerve. Like, I don't believe that Hangman, and I mean, maybe you could tell the story that he's back in the Elite because he thinks that that will help him get to Swerve because they're now in charge. You could, like, do something like that. I don't know. But, yeah. I think Hangman being involved in any capacity here immediately takes it from, like, a 10 out of 10 for me to a 20 out of 10.
I mean, he drank the man's blood.
Yes. Like, I will never forget that iconic... The iconic shot of so, and I love, like, even more the amount of pearl clutching outrage from people who don't watch AEW. I was like, that was really tame compared to some things that we have seen in this promotion, but it's just because he put it in his mouth, but it's okay. Ace says, Claudio's my prediction to turn heel. I second that. Sorry, my earring came loose for a second.
Oh,
I think the tension between Claudio and Danielson is really interesting. Speaking of Danielson.
We're not going to talk about it. I mean, we are going to talk about it, but listen, in our group chat, we are all like, fuck Birdie. Like,
yeah.
You don't need Birdie. Your dad.
Yeah. Birdie, listen, I said it on Wrestling Made Me Cry before, and I'll say it again, just in case you're listening this time. I knew him first. I knew your dad before you knew your dad, okay? So I think there's some precedent there where and her birthday already passed.
Yeah.
So he made this promise he's not gonna wrestle full time or whatever. Birdie, take one for the team, dude. Take one for the freaking team.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I like seriously, like I understand his commitment to his kids. I get it.
Sure.
And I do think that he'll still be around. He'll still do some stuff because it's just he's not going to wrestle full time. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be involved with wrestling in some capacity with AEW or with anybody. I think Bryan Danielson is one of those people where like wrestling is such a part of him that it's going to follow him everywhere, regardless.
Sure.
But the thought of Bryan Danielson retiring this year. It kind of breaks my heart. It really, and he's had such a long run in AEW, but it feels like it's been 5 minutes.
Well, he keeps getting injured and then he comes back and then he gets injured and then he comes back. Like I get the push and pull. I get that like there was concussion protocols and all these things that did stop and start his run.
Yeah.
And it is so wild to me thinking I was there when he debuted.
And that was crazy. Like, I felt out of body.
Out of, well, it was one thing to have Ruby Soho premiere. Right, premiere.
The premiere.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, Adam Cole. Okay. That's yeah. good because I love Adam Cole. I love Adam Cole. I yeah. love Ring of Honor. Like, that's all I needed. And then all of a sudden he comes out with his booty popping music. And I'm like, what in the actual hell is going on? What in the actual hell?
It was good because
he had just main evented WrestleMania that year.
Yeah. And it was, there had been like rumors and things that he was, you know, they were in talks, whatever. But Adam Cole comes out and I'm like, okay, that's a good debut to end the show. Like, I'm really satisfied yeah. with that. I like Adam Cole and I like the way they debuted him with the Being the Elite stuff. Because if you know me, you know I love Being the Elite. And it was good. And so I sat my ass down because I was like, okay, it was late. I was tired. I'd been going all day. It's a wrestling pay-per-view. They had Fan Fest as well. So I had done yeah. Fan Fest. And so I sit down. And then it's Bryan Danielson. And I shoot up. And I'm screaming. There's two debuts that made me feel out of body like that. The first one was mm-hmm. Moxley. Because that was just such a big, such a big deal. Like, and the camera cut to Moxley because I didn't go to the show. So I was still in school at this point. It cut to Moxley and he's like in the crowd, crazy. Danielson was even crazier because I think Adam Cole debuted and people were satisfied and the excitement kind of waned a little bit. And then they hit us with the 1-2 punch and against Kenny Omega too. Oh my God. Okay. We need to do an episode of Wrestling Made Me Cry where we like look back on like our favorite moments from AEW. Cause like some of these things we have lost.
We have retro episodes. We got to go back and look at because.
Yeah. Oh, also, yes. Congrats to Ruby and Angela.
Oh, my God. So cute. And the little baby bump. The little baby bump is so cute.
I'm so happy. They look so happy.
I know.
And I'm just. Yes. Congratulations to them.
It's so funny because remember when that angle happened, right? There's that backstage angle with Ruby and Angela Parker. They're just like having this cute little chemistry. And I looked at my husband and I was like, this seems a little too real. You know what I mean? Yes. This doesn't feel kayfabe. He's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And then I'm hearing, you know, chatter backstage from some of my pals and they're like, yeah, we think that they're real. And I'm like, is it not, are you trying to swerve me? And then we see the whole, like, guess what? I'm pregnant. And I'm like, I knew it. I knew that there was something. It's so cute.
The way he reacted. Oh my God. Just the cutest couple. And he just seems, because, like, I don't know that much on, like, a personal level about Angelo Parker. Like, I know him as a wrestler. I've known him as a wrestler. Like, I've seen him for years, right?
Yeah.
But he's not someone that I've ever, like, connected to personally like that. Because he does, he's kind of private in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But that was just so cute. That's one of the AW moments that, like, 20 years from now, we're going to look back on and be like, that was adorable.
Exactly.
It's just such a good, like, feel good moment for both of them. So, I don't remember what we were talking about before that. We just went on a whole. Oh, we talked about Eddie. We talked about Brian, which I'm really. Brian has. Not that there's ever a good time for Brian Danielson to retire, because I don't think there is. But this year, like, this stretch of pay per views. With, you know, the good relationship with New Japan, with the good relationship with CMLL, I think he chose a good time to do a retirement run, even though he's going to lose every match because he's a freak like that. Between Forbidden Door, he is a freak, which was Double or Nothing, Door, All In, All Out, Wrestle Dream, like the whole TV run, everything. I think we're going to get some bangers. We're going to get some bangers. We're going to probably, hopefully, get some story with Claudio. Hopefully, we get out, like, I have high priority dream matches for him.
Who do you think that he puts over?
To end?
Mm-hmm. Does he go for Swerve? I wrestle Dream.
It's got to be Swerve or Ospreay. Because I think... I think they're the two who are positioned where they would benefit the most from it. And, like, the interest and the hype in the match would be the greatest.
Right.
But there's, like, other people that I would like to see. Like, Kyle O'Reilly would be great. Roger Strong would be great. Adam Cole, like, that would just be a great match when Adam's ready. Like, there's a lot of matches that I think, oh, that's his rematch, one. And two, that person would really benefit from beating Bryan Danielson. But then I think in terms of people who would get launched into like that echelon, the Danielson echelon of untouchable, can lose a million times and never feel it. I think it's Ospreay. I think it's Swerve. And I think even the Pillars, like, I don't think the Pillars, I think the Pillars are a level beneath Swerve and Ospreay. But I think, so, I mean, MJF what, would benefit, Pillars. Jack Perry would benefit, Sammy would obviously benefit. Sammy would benefit from beating any legend at this point. He needs something.
I mean, he's now not suspended.
Where is he?
I didn't know that he was suspended. Like,
I didn't either.
I didn't.
I mean, I mean, Ty Mello had a baby. She's like 5 months old now.
But it was that during that angle, during that match with Jeff Hardy, that he hit him in the face and then he kept wrestling, and that was against protocol or whatever. But I don't know. I don't feel like anyone else is on a pillar as high as Jungle Jim Jack Jerry.
Jungle Jim Perry.
Yeah,
and I think that would be a great match, and I think it would be a great way to really, really hammer in, like, this is Jack Perry, this is not Jungle Boy, he's a bad guy, he's a threat, whatever, like, really shed the Jungle Boy aura, I guess. But I do think, and Ryan says, part of me wants it to be Hobbs or Takeshita. I mean, Hobbs is injured, so maybe not Hobbs. Takeshita's a good shout, though. I think Takeshita would be really interesting. But then I would have to put up with Don Callis. So if they could get Takeshita away from Don Callis, then I think people would really appreciate Takeshita a lot more. But I think the Don Callis family is just so annoying and not in a good way that everything they do pisses me off, even if it's with wrestlers I like.
It's a vortex, but let's
spiral away from the Don Callis family. But I really do think, I expect Swerve to be world champion for a long time, right?
Another long champion.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't think Christian's beating him. I think Christian's just a good, like, first feud to get, like, the story across that sort of the baby phase, whatever.
Well, Swerve is going to be against Nick Wayne, which, if you're from the Pacific Northwest, you know that, like...
Yeah.
Those brothers have fought before, and I mean, there was the whole angle of him going to the gym and all that. And, like, if you're part of the Northwest wrestling crew, I guess, you've known the Wayne family forever. So having that tied to Swerve's first, like, I guess, legitimate feud is, like, a no-brainer to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of Swerve facing, like, his demons, so to speak.
Yeah.
All of his demons before he gets to Hangman.
Yeah, I think And I think Christian's a good way to start, because it was Hangman that introduced the, you know, Swerve is a deadbeat dad story. Or Swerve doesn't care about his daughters. He's a bad father. Swerve is a bad spouse, a bad partner, whatever. Which I'm not getting into Swerve's personal business. And we're not going to get into Swerve's personal business, because I don't believe about talking about people's families. But I do think, as a wrestling story, Christian, as I'm everybody's dad, like, that's what he is. It's a patriarchy. Like, I'm this figurehead of my family. Like, I'm raising these boys, quote unquote boys, as though they were my own, blah, blah, blah. I think that's, like, that's check one on Hangman's list of critiques of Swerve, is you're a deadbeat dad. And I would like, it would be so cool to see him find himself over the summer. Cause like I said earlier about Danielson, like, we still have, we've Double or Nothing. We have Forbidden Door, which I'm so, so curious to see what they do for Swerve there. We have months of television. We have All In, we have All Out. We have so long, and Hangman still isn't back yet. And there's a lot they can do with Swerve in the meantime. And I'm really intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. And there's also other people who are kind of brewing in AW. Like, they, like Jay White, for example, they're handing him some good stuff now. He's sitting there, he's brewing. He's like simmering here. And like, here's a mid-card, right? I hate the term mid-card, because people use it as an insult. But mid-card is like the people who are strong, a strong foundation of your promotion. That's how I view it. He's there. He's simmering. He's just waiting.
You can't have that many abs and not.
He is in incredible shape.
I know.
How do you maintain that?
I don't know, because I've never had it.
Neither.
I've never
like,
gonna.
I have muscle, but I have muscle in like, I'm very much just focused on being strong.
Yeah.
This is not a fitness podcast. So if you want to know about my fitness opinions, I post about them on Twitter all the time. Kenny Omega is the same way, where I'm like, how does he, especially now since he's come back, or when he came back the first time, now, you know what I mean? The trios run time, and his legs were like tree trunks.
I don't understand.
I was like, how do you do that?
Well, him and Pac, I'm like, I don't understand. It's another one.
How do they do that?
How do they do it? I don't know.
Get it.
I mean, even in the best shape of my life, when I was playing basketball in college, working out twice, even three times a day, I don't get it. These are genetic freaks.
Claudio, too.
I don't get it.
Claudio is, like, perfectly proportional. And, like, all his muscles, obviously, but also, like, the length of his legs, the length of his arms, like, his torso. He is just, like, how does he do it?
I don't get it.
Genetics. It has to be. I mean...
genetics.
I mean, men do have kind of a leg up because,
yeah,
which is drives me crazy. But yeah, I'm looking at my wall to see if there's any other genetic freaks on there. I mean, Hangman's a genetic freak just because he's so beautiful.
So many wrestlers are freaks,
yeah,
in themselves. And having a good body doesn't mean you are necessarily a good wrestler.
Brian Cage.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm sorry if anybody here's a Brian Cage lover. I feel bad for you.
I don't think we invited them to this party, and if you are invited, you came to the wrong party. Cough. That was you don't know who I'm talking about. Anyways, just because you have a good body doesn't necessarily mean you're a good wrestler. It doesn't necessarily get over with the crowd, right? Because being over, selling merch, selling product.
Yeah.
Hello. Needless to say, I'm thoroughly entertained by what's going on in AW. There are a lot of haters out there who will try to convince you that it's not worth your time and ratings matter. And I don't care about ratings. I don't. I'm having a good time. You're having a good time.
Yeah.
We're all having a good time. Speaking, though, of things that upset me, though, I know that we weren't going to put it on the show, but the Queen of the Ring tournament, having Jade Cargill get disqualified this week?
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't like to compare AEW and WWE because
that's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, and I think it's not like a helpful thing to do, but it's really interesting, like the success of the Mercedes and Willow stuff, right? And Queen of the Ring is supposed to be some, and King of the Ring, but especially Queen of the Ring, like they really set it up with the people that were in it as like, this is our next generation, right? Like, was it just me? Because like, if you look at the people who are in it,
I mean, when Bret Hart won it, when Owen Hart won it, when Stone Cold Steve Austin won it, in my mind, those are people that like got lifted to stardom, right?
Yeah.
Now, I cannot tell you what WWE has done prior because I... But if Jade Cargill had won that match against Nia Jax, she would be against Bianca. And that is a match that everybody wants to see. Yeah, they're the tag team champions. Yeah, like they are also genetic freaks, looking at their incredible body, their amazing work. But I just thought that maybe Jade would go over Nia and go over Bianca into the finals.
Yeah.
It but seems that's like, not what we're getting.
And I, some people, you know, it's the argument they have to save Jade and Bianca for something bigger. They have to save the match. And I get it. But also, there's nothing wrong with having killer matches on TV and then doing the matches again. Like, I don't understand this notion that you have to drop opportunities to save them for an opportunity that may or may not happen in the future.
Right.
And I think Jade and Bianca is one of those feuds where you could do the match a lot of times and people would like it every time. And, or you could have just organized the tournament so that they wouldn't have wrestled in the first place. But now Nia Jax is, since coming back, like she got released and she came back in the Triple H era, I'm not mad at her. Like I've never been into Nia Jax as a wrestler, but I'm not mad at that, about what she's doing or anything like that. Like I think Nia Jax is Nia Jax at the end of the day.
Right.
I just don't see how you pass up a more interesting Jade Bianca match for Nia Jax. And that's not a knock on Nia Jax. I don't want it to seem like I'm like shit talking her, because I'm not. But it's very clear to me that there's levels. And I think fan interest in Bianca and Jade as individuals, and then also Jade versus Bianca, that is like one of the biggest things they have in the women's division right now.
Absolutely. And
I don't care about ratings. People can talk about ratings all they want. I don't care. But when I think about like Triple H's booking and people starting to get a lot more critical, they're starting to doubt Triple H a lot more. I doubted him from the beginning, but thank you for joining me here. This was a good opportunity to show out and take a risk. Like, you don't have to be so formulaic all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. And I think Triple H falls into that trap where everything follows the same, like, three formulas. It's the same stories. It's the same things over and over and over again. And we're still going with the bloodline, too. Don't get me started on Tama Tonga. He sounded like Mr. Krabs. I have no idea why he was doing it. He never did that in New Japan. One of his greatest strengths in New Japan was being on the mic and talking. He was never like the ace in ring in New Japan. He was never going to be. I mean,
no, he was the talker.
But he was great. He has a great voice, and he's very convincing, and he cuts a great promo. And they were like, no, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make noises as though you are this wild man we just found in the woods. And you're just going to make noises because you're so feral. And it's just, I hate to say it, but it's very, very McMahon booking. And it's times like that where you can see that Triple H, his biggest wrestling influence is Vince McMahon. And you could see it in Black and Gold NXT, but like this to me, they're like, okay, it's the bloodline. They're all Samoan, except they're not all Samoan, but they're part of the family. What do Samoans do? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, who are some famous Samoans? Okay, well, there was Umaga who never talked. So you can be Umaga. That's what it feels like to me, that they're just like, okay, Samoans. What is a Samoan? Here's our Samoan character. Put it on Tama Tonga. Umaga was a legend. I loved Umaga. It worked for Umaga because that was what he was really good at, and he was really good. Tama Tonga? First of all, he wasn't even good at it. He did not make a good convincing wild
Kylie's man. Kylie's in full hater mode over here.
Yeah, I really am, because like I was never a big Tama Tonga fan, but if there's one thing I get super, super mad about, it's people being held back and not being allowed to reach a greater potential by a corporation. And this is, to me, feels like that. Because Tama Tonga, if allowed, I think would be a more convincing bloodline leader than Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa looks like a little boy playing dress up in his daddy's closet.
He is not convincing.
He is nowhere as near. Okay. Mm-mm. Roman is always going to be an otherworldly figure. Look at the other members of the bloodline. Look at them. Lay them out in your head. Solo Sikoa. Solo freaking Sikoa over Tama Tonga.
Okay, so do you remember when I was on Tag Talk, right? This is our first. This was our first podcast that we ever did together. And we were talking about Sami Zayn losing to Roman Reigns and our disdain for the bloodline. Do you remember that was like an hour and a half of us just talking about our disgruntledness about the bloodline? That was 2022.
Yeah. Eddie says Tama Tonga is not even related to the bloodline. He is, though.
Oh, it's 2023. Wait a minute. When did I have?
Yeah,
2023. Yes, 2023. Yeah, sorry, it feels like 800 years ago.
Yeah, it does. But I knew that this comment was going to come. Tama Tonga is related to the bloodline, not by blood, by cultural family relationships, that kind of thing. Clown says they won't let him swear in WWE. The noise was him trying not to blurt out the F word. Yeah, but it still is a cringe-worthy noise, especially from someone who can talk without saying the F word. It's hard to believe, but he can. Mike says, where's Jacob Fatu? No freaking clue. Clown says, technically The Rock isn't related either. Yes, he is. I'm just blowing through these comments fast style because we got to wrap up here soon. And I want to make sure you guys know that we see you and we hear you. Maria says, a leader with no personality is never going to work. And that's the thing. Solo has personality. But Solo, he doesn't.
I mean, we saw some of it in NXT. But
yeah, he was good. I went to an NXT house show a while back. Wow. I don't even remember when it was. And I went for fun because it was like a couple minutes from my house and it was easy peasy lemon squeezy. And he was good. But the thing about Solo Sikoa, and I think Eddie hits the nail on the head here, Solo Sikoa is the baby of the family. And they very much acted as though he was the baby of the family. He's the little brother of the Usos. He's the little cousin who you let in because he's cool. He's older now and he's cool now. But, you know, you still have that dynamic. And I have no problem with the bloodline. I have no problem with WWE building the bloodline because I think that the Samoan dynasty legacy and the lineage and the history is really, really interesting. And I love introducing that to a new audience who might not be aware of like the wrestling legend that is, you know, this family. But I do think if you take Roman out of the bloodline, it does feel a little adrift. And it does feel, I don't know, the whole Cody, the first the Sami Zayn thing and then the Cody thing, like it really hurt the bloodline a lot. And they didn't rebrand it when Roman lost. They just kind of said, okay, Solo, you're going to wear this suit and we're going to bring in these guys from New Japan and we're going to, because listen, Tama Tonga for all, and Tonga Loa for all their faults, they are very statuesque. Like, they're very tall, they're very fit, they're imposing to look at.
Mm-hmm.
You can capitalize on that more here. And they're just not. Let's get through some more comments. Mike says Solo is much better at being the silent assassin. Ryan says Solo needs to have squash matches booked for himself to show dominance. Walk in, spike, pinfall. That would be very Umaga-esque. It goes along with the silent assassin thing. Maria says the bloodline reminds me of the terrible version of the NWO that had Jeff Jarrett as a member. Ouch.
Jeez.
It's a choice that they're doing. And I think, and I don't want to complain more because this is like our positive. But I think, I don't know what they're doing. And a Queen of the Ring is the same thing. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know what they're doing.
King of the Ring is kind of black.
I mean, King of the Ring, I feel like it's whoever wins Gunther versus Jey Uso, I feel like it's going to win. Now I'm probably going to eat my words if Tama Tonga wins King of the Ring, which, okay, weird. But I have no idea who's going to win Queen of the Ring.
No clue. And no like, idea. I'm not really that interested in caring now. And listen, WWE got hurt by a lot of injuries, right?
Sure.
But like, and that's the thing, like, you have to have people, you have to have backup plans, and you have to have people who are ready to be plugged in. Whenever, mm-hmm. Like, look at, and I hate to compare to AEW, but look at AEW, when all those injuries happened, they had people ready to go to plug into those spots, mm-hmm. and they made it work. And WWE is, like, floundering in a lot of ways. And I think of, like Mercedes in AEW. She hasn't wrestled yet. People are getting kind of annoyed that she hasn't wrestled yet. But then she has this contract signing with Willow, where Willow comes across as the biggest star in that division,
mm-hmm.
AEW women's division. She stands up to Mercedes. She stands toe-to-toe. She's not afraid. She power bombs her. They get physical. It's great. And that match is going to be great. And that is what WWE is kind of missing. Like, there's no, like, Bianca Jade was their Willow Mercedes. Like, that was their big thing. It's because you debut Willow and you make her seem, not Willow, you debut Jade and you make her seem like
a big deal.
A big deal. Like, not, I'm not talking about when she was just walking around with Triple H. I'm talking about like when she actually was wrestling now. Mm-hmm. And you position her with Bianca, who's your biggest homegrown star of the last 20 years, in my opinion. And this is what they do. And it is very WWE. I don't know.
I feel it. Well, do we have anything else on our agenda?
No, that was everything on our agenda. If you guys want to get your final comments or super chats in, go ahead. We'll do our closing thoughts and our plugs. You can go first with your closing thoughts.
My closing thoughts are, I can't believe that there are two pay-per-views next weekend. I don't watch the Saudi Arabia pay-per-views. It's just a personal thing. And if y'all think that's weird, it's fine. Whatever. It's just for me. Just for me. I'm not going to watch it. But King and Queen of the Ring are Saturday morning, and Sunday afternoon is Double or Nothing. We're going into Memorial Day weekend. I'm excited for the extra day. And I'm hoping that the pool is open in my complex. You know,
Fingers crossed,
because I love some pool. I actually love the hot tub because it's like a bigger hot tub. But it's very beautiful. The trees are all surrounding, so it's very, like, kind of private. But I don't know. I'm just, like, these are the shows that are kicking off the summer for both AEW and WWE. And I'm stoked for it because I think there's cool stuff happening.
Yeah.
So,
my final thoughts are, I love Eddie Kingston. I love Bryan Danielson. And I'm really glad that AEW is firing all cylinders right now. Ryan Lambert says, my closing thoughts is that we need more guys kissing and wrestling.
Yes.
Yes. Seconded. Give me. Listen, I was just about to go off on a Golden Lovers tangent, but we need to wrap up. Remind me, one of you in chat next time or another time to talk about the Golden Lovers, and I will. It is very hot in Florida right now. We are reaching record highs every day, so our pool has been open for months. But, yeah, it is disgusting. We are getting July, August peak of summer temperatures in May. So it is, we are in for some hellish.
We are still in weather. 55 to 60 degrees up here. So
right now it is 83 with a feels like of 87. And our highs this week are all 94 degrees. With humidity, what is humidity? 67% right now, 67% humidity. We will probably hit 70, 75 today. Maria says, I live in Orlando and I'm cooking here. I hear you, sister. It is a woof. It is bad. But those are my final thoughts. You can follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. I've been posting a lot about Texas Chainsaw Massacre the game, which I love that freaking game. Shout out Jeff Jarrett and AEW for telling me about that game. And Jeff Hardy. You guys remember the chainsaw match? Texas
Chainsaw. Oh yeah.
Leatherface came out with the chainsaw.
Yeah.
I started playing that game. I love that game. So I'm posting about that. I'm posting about fitness tips and things like that, because apparently people have ideas about fitness and I have some knowledge about fitness. So I share. I also post about wrestling, post about my life. You know, follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. Follow Collins on Twitter at _queerauntie.
And remember,
yes,
we're going into Pride Month and I'm about to be obnoxious.
As okay? You should.
I thought about, well, I still probably might write an article about queer wrestlers and what it means to queer wrestling fans to see queer wrestlers on shows that aren't just during Pride Month. May still write the article. We'll see. I don't know. It's effort that has to be made. So I don't know. But yeah, you can find me on all social media _queerauntie. I do go live on Twitch usually on Friday nights and usually on Sunday evenings. But this weekend was kind of a little crazy pants, because I have a life outside of the internet. So I've been a little busy. I'm also over on OLE, our local establishment podcast channel on Thursdays, talking about Ring of Honor, which our episode this last week, the episode of Ring of Honor was 45 minutes. Kyle Sparks was back from his hiatus.
Yes.
We talked for over 2 hours about a 45 minute episode, and his internet kept going out, right? So I'm just sitting there on stream laughing my ass off, to the point that my husband came in and he's like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm totally fine.
It's a good episode.
It was a good episode. So go find it. You can always find the links in my bio on Twitter in case you get a little lost. So
yes. And then here's the big plug. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry, a show where we talk about normally the positive things about wrestling. We went off on a tangent today, but listen, this is a community and you guys made us talk about it. I'm kidding. I don't.
Yeah.
You people. But yeah, we talk about things that made us cry, things that we enjoyed in wrestling, things that were a good time. So we're live every Sunday, normally at noon, noon Eastern. Today was 11 Eastern because Collins has a thing to do. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. If you want an explanation, go do that. Go watch. But normally it's noon Eastern. And we talk about, like I said, fun stuff in wrestling. It's a community here. You guys can come bring your ideas. And we'd like to interact with our chat. This is Fightful Overbooked, a channel full of chaos and destruction. The Fightful Overbooked crew, if you look at everybody who's on Fightful Overbooked, what the weirdest roster of all time, and it is absolute, it's the Wild West.
We're
it's
professionals. Chaos. We are professionals.
We're professionals, but it is the most absurd conglomeration of personalities, but it is, this is the best right now, this group of Fightful Overbooked, I think is the best roster of people I've been a part of since I joined Fightful. So I'm so glad to be here. There's shows like FMC. There's shows like In the Weeds. There's lots of stuff. There's Indeed, if you like indie wrestling. There's lots of stuff. So go to like the playlists and then look, because YouTube splits up videos and lives, and it can get confusing to see what the actual shows are. So go to the playlist. Go look at it. Yeah. Ryan says, as a bisexual man, I'm queered up for Pride Month. Hell yeah. Fernando says, do you think Orange Cassidy is joining the family? Hell no.
No.
Please.
No.
Absolutely not. But yeah. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this weird early morning episode. We're planning a spicy Wrestling Made Me Cry After Dark episode.
Yes.
Stay tuned for that. Follow us on Twitter for more news on that. Subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. Like this video if you're watching after we go live. Hello. Comment below. All that. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals. Save.